Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 17. It's talking about the Apostle Paul and his words to the people in Athens. So it's chapter 17, beginning at verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with Jews and other devout persons, and also in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Also, some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with him. Some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign divinities." This was because Paul was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and asked him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? It sounds rather strange to us, so we would like to know what it means." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. And Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' And what therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth. And he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of your own prophets have said, for we too are his offspring. And since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. So bear with the English major for a second. Aeschylus, the great Greek playwright, the father of tragedy, as he is known, is famous in particular for a trilogy of plays called the Oresteia. And the third of those plays is called the Eumenides. And the Eumenides, I'm not going to go into it in great detail, I promise. The Eumenides is the end of the story of Agamemnon and his return from the Trojan War. And unfortunately, Agamemnon was murdered the night that he returned from the war after all of that time by his wife. And this then sort of cascades through the generations as a tremendous tragedy that they can never work their way quite out of. And in this third play, his son, Agamemnon's son, is on the run. He has avenged his father, but he is surrounded by figures from Greek mythology known as the Furies. And the Furies were the embodiment of the spirit of vengeance. The spirit of vengeance. And he cannot escape them. So he finds his way to Athens and throws himself on the mercy of the goddess Athena, who he knows will be fair. And in fact, Athena is fair. Athena says, we are going to convene a jury of Athenians to judge your case against the Furies. And Orestes testifies. Apollo testifies. He's on team Orestes. The Furies testify. And at the conclusion of it, Orestes is vindicated. And the Furies are, what do you think? Furious. They're furious. And Athena says, no. Vengeance must end. And so I'm giving you a new role. You will no longer be known as the Furies. You'll be known as the Kind Ones. In Greek, the Eumenides. And you are going to live in this cave here in Athens. And your job going forward will be to be furious for justice, furious for fairness, furious for the claims of this city to elevate the characters of all who live here. That is your job now. And I mention this because this is a place you can visit in Athens. How many of you have been to Athens? All right. Do you know the cave? You know another cave? All right. So the point of the cave story is that cave is directly below where the Apostle Paul stood and spoke to the Areopagus. Paul, coming into the city, coming as a stranger, as you've heard, coming for a place that for a nice sort of man like him would have been a little bit like being an Amish guy going to Vegas. He comes and he goes to this place because he's heard, he's met people, he's encountered all of these people. He's encountered this environment that's very foreign to him. Very strange. And in many ways, shockingly shallow. He sees a place that is so cosmopolitan, it doesn't just have the Acropolis, though that was there and he saw it. It has statues for every god that people who found their way to Athens sort of missed from their old hometown. But the Athenian people were curious. The gospel tells us that. And so they don't just give a god to everybody from their old hometown. They're like, you know, there are a lot of people who haven't made it to Athens yet, but they should have a spot too. So they have an altar where there is no statue. And on it is written, to an unknown god. And Paul, in the words that you've heard this morning, wants to tell them. He plays on that image of an unknown God, and he says, for all these things you know, people, for all these things that this city is so famous for all the curiosity that is at the heart of what it is to be a person in this place, there's something you don't know. And I am here because I want you to know it. I want you to know it. And so he goes to this place, standing above the Furies, and speaks to them about the gospel, tells them the story of Jesus. Feel like we could use Paul in these days, don't you? Feel like in so many ways the Furies have come out of that cave and sort of gone back to their old job. There's so much in our lives today that just seems overshadowed by the spirit of vengeance, the spirit of division. Just an angry, angry energy. It seems like it's everywhere we look. It's everywhere we look. It's not unique to our time, and I think we know that. And it's not as if the church has always been immune from fury. If only it had been, if only it could be. I remember years ago, I've talked about this trip before. When I was a chaplain in New York City, I took a group of school kids to the Dominican Republic to work at an orphanage. And it was the trip that launched 1,000 sermons. So if you're like, yeah, okay, we know about that, yeah, right. I don't think I've told this particular story. The first night that we were there, we're sort of with the group and sort of debriefing the day and the getting there and the meeting the kids for the first time. And it turned out there was another group there, and they were from a college group, and they were there under the auspices of a kind of a campus ministry experience. And there we are, sort of a bunch of New Yorkers, and these are people from not New York, who sort of the kind of people who look at New York and go, oh. And so we're there sort of debriefing, and a young woman comes down. She comes up to us, and she's like, we're having a Bible study upstairs. If any of you would like to join, you're welcome. Well, we didn't all leap up, I'll tell you. In fact, none of us did. In fact, even I love talking about the Bible, and even I didn't go. It's that spirit, right? The fury somehow felt like it was. Church is not immune. But I'll tell you something, as I've thought about that over the years, boy, am I sorry I didn't go. I'm really sorry I didn't. I don't know what I would have learned. And that's the point, right? I don't know. I never will. And that's what I hear in this story of Paul this morning. Because boy, it's easy for us to feel like we're in the warm embrace of faith and then to have the fury that washes over us, that righteous fury of looking at the world and seeing just how many people don't get it. But that's not how Paul was. Paul goes to this place, and he doesn't turn away from these folks that he's met. His impulse is to turn toward them. His impulse is to reach out to them. His impulse is to invite them into conversation, knowing that these are people who like to converse, but he's going to go for it. He's going to try to meet them where they are and try to tell them about what he knows and how it is, in their terms, they can begin to wrap their heads around the idea that the God that they don't know, the language they don't have, that's the God they need the most. And the language that they need to learn. And he's not there to wag his finger. He's there to extend his hands and say, let's talk. to say, let me listen. To say, there must be some way that in this world that God has made, that we can come to recognize that in fact, all the land is common ground. That's the point. Because it's not your ground and my ground, it's all God's ground. And because it's all God's ground, and because we are all God's children, there must be a way for us to link up, to join hands, and to know one another across all the things that make us seem so very different. So the vision of the gospel today is a vision of how we as a people are called to turn toward one another, toward our neighbors, toward the people who are hardest maybe to reach, and the quickest to turn away from us. Because it would have been easy for Paul to give in to the Furies. We know enough about Paul. Paul, first person to say of himself, that fury came easily enough to him. But in God, he found a different way of living. He found himself called and strengthened to be a different kind of person. And his invitation to us, just as it was an invitation to the people of Athens, is to open our hearts and to open our minds to the love of a God who would elevate us in just that same way and call us to become people who seek common ground. It is not easy work, and we know that. But it's God's work. And we know, as God tells us time and time again, that with God, all things are possible. May it be so.